Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org. And now a message from the Rock of Gainesville.
It's great to see so many beautiful faces in the middle of summer. When we started, we were slim pickings in here, so I'm glad you made it, showed up. And I said in the back, I'll be glad when summer's over and school starts back and spring is here for a lot of reasons. So we have officially completed Reach Week 2025. And I asked the Father if I could say this morning because I'm kind of like a proud daddy.
There you go.
I don't want to be full of pride,
right. That's different.
But I'm proud of you. As I saw the group last Sunday as we launched Reach Week 2025, it's the largest missions trip we do every year, and it happens right here in our Jerusalem, our Gainesville, our city, our community. And to me, that's kingdom. Missions is a vital part of the heart of the Rock of Gainesville. But it's not just missions out there. I'm thankful that we get to go to Cuba and Honduras and all the nations of the world we've been in over the last 37 plus years. But Jesus said to the disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witness. And you'll begin where they were in Jerusalem. And then Judea, Samaria, that's like Waldo, Stark, Ocala. So we start in Gainesville and we reach out. And then we reach out to the nations of the world. In September, Stephen Arrington and Kristen Hewish and myself are taking 12 young people to Honduras. And on the same trip, Gabe and Andrew are taking, I can't keep up with the count, but I think it's around, I don't remember, 17 men, hardworking men that are going to be working in the same house that they're going to be living in. And so as we think about going on a missions trip like that, there's a lot involved. And guess what? There was a lot involved in Reach Week. Jamie, I want to give credit to Pastor Jamie because Jamie really carries the vision of Reach Week. And it really began years ago when I was taking a group overseas to do missions work. And Jamie and them decided to do something here at home. And that thing has grown into what it was this week. And you want to hear a couple of stats? No, next week, the whole service, we're just going to celebrate what the Lord helped us to accomplish this week. But just a few appetizers, teasers. I asked Nancy on Thursday, I said, Nancy, how many projects, how many things are we doing this week? And she said, well, let me get the update. So she goes in, she comes back, she gives me. We did 53 different projects this week across the city of Gainesville and surrounding counties. Last Sunday, it began by a whole group, a lot of young people and parents in the big multipurpose room bagging up mounds of food that you brought here. And that's significant because that feeds hungry people. I was down on, I can't remember, Monday or Tuesday at St. Francis' house, and I was pretty much just getting in everybody's way. But I had my red t-shirt on, so I looked official. So I went through to the front of St. Francis' house to meet the people that run St. Francis' house, and we ended up in a great conversation. There was a young lady there, and I started asking her a lot of questions, and she had so little answers, and she finally said, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I've only been here 3 weeks. So I said, that's great. And but we just had the greatest time, and as I'm turning around to start to leave, she said, Pastor. And I turned back and she said, why do y'all do this? What an open door, right? You know I had a little answer, right? I said, number one, it's because God loves us. And he also loves every one of these people down here. Amen. I met a precious mom, four or five kids. Can't remember, four, I think. Just moved to Gainesville from over on the panhandle. She needs a job. She needs a place to live. She needs care for her kids. Single mom. The oldest was about 12. The youngest was 8 months. And I thought, wow. How do we help this situation? Handouts is not the answer. But helping someone to find out how to improve their life. And this woman had faith, and she believed literally that the Lord put her in her heart to come to Gainesville, to St. Francis House. Wow. Because they were going to give her 3 months free room for her and her family. Amen. And she said, I believe in 3 months I'm going to be able to get a job. I'm going to be able to find a place for my kids to be during the day. I'm going to be able to get a place to live for my family. And I said, we'll help you. And she'll be here next week. This weekend, she took her kids and drove back to the panhandle to pack up as much of her clothing as she could. I don't know what the situation was, but you know what? God loves that woman and loves those kids. And as I started to walk away from that woman and her children, the oldest one there, young man, he's 11, 12 years old, and he just had this sweetest smile on his face, and he said, so you're the pastor? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, Pastor, thank you. I said, for what? He said, for providing this great meal. And that all your people in there, they had the best smiles, and they're so sweet to us. See, we're called to take Jesus to the world. Amen? So next week, we're going to have a full recap and share a bunch of stuff, a bunch of videos and all. But, you know, our motto is love God, love our neighbor, love our city, serve our city. Some of you are wearing the T-shirts this morning. And Suzanne and I were wearing ours last Sunday. We went to lunch with my nephew and his wife, and we sat down at the table, and the waitress came up, and she looked, and then she smiled. She said, y'all know y'all are wearing the same shirts? No, really? She said, did y'all walk in your separate closets, come out with the same T-shirt on? I said, well, there's a reason. And our reason is more than to wear a red T-shirt. Right. It's to take the love of God to a world that's hurting. Amen. And so as the daddy of this house, I want to say to all my spiritual children, thank you for loving big, serving big, working hard. I talked to one family, they took off the whole week, both husband and wife took the whole week off vacation with their kids, and they were working every single day on a different project. Come on, somebody, you know what? That's what they'd have to do if they went on a missions trip. The 17 guys and the 12 kids that are going with me, the 12 kids are going to have to miss school for a week. I'm sure they're not complaining about that. But the men are having to leave their families, leave their jobs. Some of them won't get paid because they get paid when they work. And so they're taking off, they're sacrificing. And that's what Reach Week was all about, was taking a week and going into our community. And so next week, I'll talk a little bit about what's next. Where do we go from finishing up this? But today, we're going to start back in this message that y'all didn't let me finish last week. It was totally your fault. I stand totally forgiven that I didn't finish. But I want to just jump right back in this. And we were talking about faith that stands in a messed up world. And the simple summary of last week is this: faith is not a feeling, it's obedience in action. And this morning, Suzanne was sitting in my office, and I was going over my notes to her. And I said, honey, this passage of scripture, it's so familiar, and it's been preached so many times, and so many people take the one verse out, which is what I'm about to do, and they read it, and it's powerful in and of itself, but it really becomes powerful when you backstop it with the full story of what was happening and why Samuel went to Saul and said to Saul, God's not happy with you. Right. Now remember, Saul is the one that God had raised up to be king. And when you backstop it and you go back and look at the history and what it says, God had favor on Saul, and among all the sons of Israel, Saul was the one that God spoke to Samuel the prophet and said, anoint him king. And when he did, hear me, God did not want Saul to fail. He gave him everything he needed not to fail. But then you read the scripture and you go, wow, what happened? Here's the scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And Samuel said to Saul, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. We've heard that scripture quoted so many times, but you have to really read the whole story to understand the significance of what Samuel was having to say to Saul. God rejects you, not because you didn't sacrifice, but because you didn't obey. We're living in a society today. Pastor Hector and Pastor Suzanne were in my office. I had to kick them out of my office a while ago so I could have a few minutes to just quiet my mind and get ready to preach. But we were in there preaching to each other. And we were talking about the day and the hour that we're living in and the difficulties of what this is doing to our generation. And not just to the children, but to many of you adults. And Pastor Hector was reminding Suzanne and I of something he said while he was preaching. Do we have a mic up here? Hector, come up here real quick. Find me a mic. Somebody find me a mic. Can I use this mic? You have a mic. Oh, Hector's got a mic. Okay. Hector.
Yes, sir.
I want you to tell them real quick. You can't preach, but tell them what you said. Because honestly, when he was telling us what he said, I was sitting there and I listened. I sat on the front notes. I was taking notes, but I didn't remember what he had said. So say it again, because it's powerful.
All right. So what I had mentioned when I spoke last was this kind of charge or this encouragement, or let's be honest, a real warning for us living in modern times to beware for you page religion.
Say that again, because I don't even know what that is.
So for those of you who don't know what for you page is.
That's me. Anybody else not know what that is? Okay.
On social media.
Wait. How many of y'all know what it is?
I need a cup of coffee to keep up.
Okay. All right. Only like 12 know what it is, so go ahead.
All right. So in the world of social media, there's an algorithm built into your social media app that provides you a very specific feed, right? A feed of posts and pictures and videos based on what you like, based on what you search. So this is called your For You page. It's a page specifically tailored to you. So what I was charging and challenging all of us was to beware For You page religion, where we take 17 seconds of a video of someone saying something spiritual or supposedly biblical, and then adopting that without us cross-referencing it against the scripture itself.
Woo, that's powerful. All right, thank you.
I'll keep this.
You keep that. So what he's saying is that without your knowledge, your brain is being fed something because of what you've looked for on your phone. All of this conversation came about, so I'm going to just be gut level honest. Is that okay this morning? Y'all all right with that? Because I was telling Suzanne and Hector, I'm struggling with why a significant amount of faithful people of the Rock of Gainesville, many who have been here for a long time, have quit being faithful with their tithe. Now, how do I know that? Because I've spent time going through our contribution report. Now, this year, we're in the month of July. This year, so far, we have more contributors than we've ever had before. But as I started going through, which I do every single week, Tom sends a report, I go through it and pray over it. And then when I start seeing names not on it that I know they're a faithful part of this house, I punch in your name and it pops up. And what I don't understand is what lie has been planted in you to think it's okay to stop obeying God. Some say, well, sacrifice. I'm giving to this or I'm giving to that. But nowhere in the Word does it say, I have to be careful because if you take this out of context, you think it's law. See, but I've told my story so many times here. I was a thief and a robber in the house of God from the time I was born until Holy Spirit and my wife got a hold of me. And I thank God every day for my wife. Because had that day not happened, hear me, you would not be sitting in this building today because this building would not exist. See, as much as I said I love God and I went, I served, I did children's church, I did Rural Rangers, I sang in the choir, if you can believe that. I mean, I did everything that they needed somebody to do, except I was not faithful with my tithe. And when Holy Spirit convicted me of that, the revelation I got was not about owing God money. It was about trusting God. It was about, it wasn't my money, it was my heart. I said I love God, but I did not trust God. I said I want to go to heaven, but I didn't trust God in the path in which he had created for me to walk out my salvation. And as much as I could say, I believe this and that, my actions screamed louder than my words. But when I got the revelation, my wife can tell you, from that day to this day, I don't forget to put my underwear on. Okay, so I'm really tired of people saying, well, I just forgot. You forgot 12 out of the last 14 weeks? Did you forget to pay your car payment? How about your rent or your mortgage? Or your credit card because you need to pay it because you've been buying stuff you really wanted. Okay, hear me. Listen, I'm not saying any of this because we're all of a sudden desperate, because we're not. We're 6 years into this building. Matter of fact, this weekend. Wow, just realized that. 6 years ago, we moved in here. And from the time we moved in here, we started paying double payments on this mortgage. Because outside of our mortgage, we've never owed anybody anything in years. You know why? God is good. Yes, he is. But because you're faithful with your tithes and your offerings is why we have a great reputation in this city. I could go to any bank in this town and borrow millions of dollars because of who we are, because of our reputation, because of what we have. When we built this building, we had to sign a note for $13 million. 37 years ago, I couldn't get a bank to give me $200. With my pastor's co-signature, they told me, oh, you won't make it in this city. Our first building cost us under $500,000. South Campus, where they have chapel every Monday morning. We built that building for $19 a square foot. Wow. Come on, somebody. What day was that? Because this building you're sitting in cost over $300 a square foot. That means your butt costs me $300 every single Sunday. But not just your butt. You remember right before we moved in, we realized, man, we don't have enough parking. So Tad and I got together with our builders and we said, we need 100 more parking spots. You know how much the 100 parking spots cost us? As much as our first building costs. It cost us $465,000 for 100 parking spots. Every time you pull into your spot out there, $4,650. But hear me, because of the faithfulness of God blessing us, because we look at where God has brought us from to where we are today. How many of you can remember where you were 37 years ago? 25 years ago in your business, 20 years ago in your business, 10 years ago in your business. You look back and you go, wow, look what the Lord has done in my life. Why? Because God is good, but because of your obedience. Obedience, hear me, church, is better than sacrifice. So for all of you that have, for whatever reason, subconsciously believed the lie that Hector talked about, you need to go back and make that thing right with God. But you can only do that in the house of God where God has planted you and joined you to. Because the word says we're to bring our tithe and our offering into the storehouse. This is our storehouse. There's a lot of men on TV that I love. I'm encouraged by them, blessed by them. But I'm telling you, if I have a need at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm not calling that man on TV because he ain't taking my call. But there's not one of you that if you had a need in the middle of the night and picked up the phone and called the church office or called any of the pastors that you had their phone number, that pastor would get up, probably call me, and somebody would be at that hospital with you and your family, you and your kids. Why? Because we're the storehouse. Not us, but because God has an order in which he brings blessing. Now, I wish I had a big mirror up here because some of y'all look really happy. And I'm glad your eyes are not arrows because I'd be dead. But hear me. I don't need your money, but you desperately need the blessing of God in your life. So obedience, when it comes to your faith, is better than sacrifice. So if you've been tormented by the enemy to come up with excuses justifying why this week you need to hold your tithe, you need to reread the Word of God and remember the benefits. God's never asked anything from you that he did not give better to you in the overflow. God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. Say, oh, but I love God. No, no, no. Because wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And wherever your money is, that's where your heart is. It is. And when you get to that place where you can trust God, you will never rob from God ever again in your life. Now, obedience is not just about your giving of money, but it's literally about your giving of your life. Many of you, some will not even come back next Sunday because one, you're offended at what I just said, or two, you don't want to see the recap of what the rest of us did during Reach Week because it wasn't important enough to you. 53 different areas everybody could serve in. Well, honey, this is not a negative message. I'm being positive, right? I feel like I'm being positive. But I'm just talking to you as your spiritual daddy today. Amen. See, Monday through Friday, Pastor Suzanne met some people here every day, and she had spent an hour at the coffee shop preparing her heart to lead the group that was coming every day because they were praying over everybody else that was going out there. Hear me. Working is great. Praying is great. Praying and working, that's kingdom. And when I look at guys out there on top of roofs or tearing something down or in an attic or in a basement or under the ground, I'm not under the ground, but under a house in the ground, I want to know somebody's praying for these people. They don't cut themselves with a rusty nail. They don't get bit by a snake. Come on, somebody. Or an alligator. Oscar shows me a picture this morning of him and his grandson on a boat, and his grandson's holding the alligator. I said, how'd you get the alligator? He said, my son-in-law jumped in and grabbed the alligator. I said, doesn't your son-in-law, I don't know if Mike's here right now, but if he is, I'm talking about you, Mike. doesn't he know where there's baby alligators? There's mom alligators? And somebody else said, Mike don't care. Raised in the water. But see, there is something everybody could do. Next year, I would like to have 100% of this house take a day off, take 2 days off, take a week off, whatever you got to do. Take some time, take your kids, and do something in Reach Week for the kingdom of God. Amen. Your kids will still be talking about it when they're married with their own children, long after they've forgotten about that last Disney World trip. I know y'all are tired of me talking about Disney, but I'm not going to ever stop. If you like Disney, I'm for you, okay? It's not my thing. But what is stirring us. When I went to St. Francis' house and saw a whole family that took off work, and they're in there, one of them's in the back wiping down cans, the other's out front feeding the homeless. The other one's out carrying a young lady carrying a big bag of trash. Pastor Ron was acting like he was helping her, but I saw she was pulling that bag of trash out. I think he did help her toss it into the can. But I look at this family and I thought, these kids will remember this. Yeah. And last night we got a picture and one of our ladies was leaving Sam's, and our last group, Reach Week group out there, was out there last night right before dark, feeding the homeless and giving backpacks that we had packed here in the multipurpose room with all kind of stuff that somebody that's living on the street needs. Stuff you and I don't think about. And they took a picture of a bunch of our people in the red t-shirts walking down the street following Brad, who was riding his scooter with his big sign on the back, honk if you love Jesus. But they weren't out there just to get people to honk. They were carrying backpacks on their back as they were out there looking for those who had need. And I'm telling you, it almost brought me to tears. It blessed me. Because if you ever stop long enough and take time to talk to someone that's homeless, someone that's, man, if you're not careful, you can be so judgmental against them until you stop and hear their story. And you go, but for the grace of God, that could be me. But it's not you. You see, it's better to give than to receive. What that means is it's better to be able to give than to have need to receive. There was a time growing up when I didn't trust God. I was backwards in my thinking. I was always looking, you know, for that mailbox with a check in it. It was never there. Anybody else ever been guilty of going to the mailbox looking for that check? You don't even know where you're believing the check will come from. You're just believing for a miracle. That check don't show up. If it does, somebody steals it out of your mailbox before you get it. But it's better to not need that and be able to give that to someone else. See, obedience produces life, hope, confidence. And obedience is better than sacrifice. Everybody just smile real big like you still love me and say amen, okay? I'm receiving that right now. That just built me up right there. So number two, this is what I left you off with last week, a teaser. Faith will not bow to the spirit of this age. Faith, true faith, will not bow to what's going on in our world. But hear me, we as believers, we have to be shrewd and wise and full of wisdom and full of the word of God. Because if not, what Hector was warning us about is taking place and we don't even realize it. We're looking at something, reading something, listening in some 17-second reel that tries to convince us that what we've been believing isn't right or doesn't exist, and they give some religious reason for it. And before long, doubt creeps into your mind. Have you ever prayed in the Spirit? And when you stop, all of a sudden, the enemy of your soul, the enemy of God, the enemy of Jesus, the enemy of the Holy Spirit starts speaking. That was the stupidest thing I ever heard. You don't even know what you're saying. You're just mumble jumbling. But you know. I was reading a little bit of Smith Wigglesworth last night, and the guy that's writing the book was a personal friend, a spiritual son of Smith Wigglesworth. And he was writing about Smith Wigglesworth sharing the story of when he received the Holy Spirit. And that before the Holy Spirit, he really wanted to serve God. And he believed, because of teaching, erroneous teaching, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then this woman says to him, she heard him praying. And she says, Smith, what you need is the Holy Spirit. And the writer of the book says Smith gets in an argument with the woman why he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And when he finishes his argument, she says, then why is there no power in your life? Come on, somebody. See, because the promise of the Holy Spirit is that power will overtake you. That doesn't mean you have to chase power. That means power overtakes you when you receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because what you're saying is, I need the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit living in me, helping me in every area of my life. Amen. A lot of people will say, well, when you get saved, you're full of the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit has prepped your heart, because without the seed of faith, you can never get saved. But the word of God is very clear. Paul was clear. Peter was clear. The early church was clear that the receiving of the Holy Spirit was a whole, complete, separate experience from salvation. Can't get saved without the Holy Spirit working in your life. You don't just get up one day and go, oh, today I think I'm going to get saved. No. It just doesn't work that way. Your heart has to be prepped. Sometimes it's through the word of God. How will they ever be saved unless they hear? How will they hear unless somebody goes and shares with them, witnesses to them, tells them the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's when you hear the gospel and you realize that God is God and you are not, and you need him, that you surrender your life and say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Amen? He becomes Lord of your life. But without the Holy Spirit, if you want to know what your life is like, just read the disciples 3 years walking with Jesus. They had Jesus, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit. And man, I don't know, again, where y'all are on the Chosen series, but Suzanne and I watched the last couple episodes of the last season, season 5, I think. Man, we were having a hard time getting through it. To see dramatically, visually, what the disciples were going through in that last week of Jesus' life. The struggle. Jesus kept telling them what was going to happen, and they were arguing, no, it can't. When Jesus says, one of you are going to betray me, man, a riot breaks out in the upper room. They start arguing, who is it? Tell us who it is. We'll grab him and tag him and tie him up so he'll never be able to do this. And I believe they would have. And they were all fearful. Is it I? I mean, seriously, they were asking the hard question. Lord, is it me? Oh my gosh, show me if it's me, show me. And you see the pain in Jesus' face. And you see Jesus take the basin of water and a towel and go and kneel at the feet of Judas, his betrayer, and starts washing his feet and looking into Judas's eyes. And Judas knows he's the one. Could you imagine? Obedience would have been better than sacrifice. But he couldn't help himself. So faith, the faith that God has given us, the faith that we build up. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. Faith is not what you look at. Faith is not what you see in the natural. Faith is what Holy Spirit speaks into your heart, and all of a sudden you know, I got to do this. Amen. I got to do this thing. And those actions always produce life. True faith and true hearing will produce the blessing of God in our life. So when I look at all of Scripture, and I think it's quite interesting, I don't know if Jamie had read my notes before he picked the songs this morning, but that one song about the fourth man in the fire, I think he took it from my notes. I'm just going to take credit for that song this morning in worship. Y'all don't look at Jamie. He doesn't need to tell you a yes or no. But Daniel chapter 3, man, I don't know about you, but I love this passage of Scripture. Daniel chapter 3 is the story of Nebuchadnezzar building himself this gigantic golden statue that looks like him. Talking about vanity. And he says, when the horns blast and the sound goes up, everybody's going to bow and worship me. And so the horns blow. Everybody drops to their knees. But this is how they're dropping. Oh, yeah. Hey. There's those three Hebrew boys. Because way back there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they're not bowing. I don't think they were arrogant. I think they were probably a little bit nervous. Because, see, the fire was already flaming up. The pits of fire had already been built. Well, that's a lot of confidence that the people really want to serve you, isn't it? I want y'all all to come and serve me, but if you don't, I'm going to throw you in this fire over here. And by the way, I already got three of them going. The fire pits are going. Smoke's coming out. The flames are going. And somebody runs to the king and says, hey, king, you know what you said? Yeah, yeah, I know all of that. He said, well, those three Hebrew children, you raised them up, king. They're pretty high in your government. But they ain't bowing. Nebuchadnezzar forgets why he raised them up. He forgets Daniel. And all of a sudden, he gets angry. And they bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the king. And he starts drilling them. Now, boys, I'm going to give you one more chance. And he goes through the whole thing. I'm going to do this and this and this. And if you don't do this, and you're going to have to go in the fire. And he just goes through the whole thing. I mean, when you read it in Scripture, you go, okay, get to the next part. Because, I mean, in detail, he goes through the whole thing again. And then, thank you. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego look at each other. And they look at the king, and they answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. You could see the steam boiling out of his ears. He gets angry. He gets mad. They go on to say, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is well able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But hear me, they didn't stop there. Could have been a good place to stop. They were giving God a way out. What they were saying was, we believe that our God is well able to stop your hand. And we believe he will. But they don't finish there. They go on and make this statement, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. See, that first part was, we know he can, we believe he will. And for the American church, we might stop right there. Woo! We know he can. We believe he will. And if he does, we're going to be shouting hallelujahs. But they went on a whole nother step of faith. But if he chooses not to, what they said was, we will die in the fire. We'll burn. But they did have that nevertheless in their heart and in their mouth. Even if he doesn't, we will not bow our knee. See, that's where the church in America needs to rise up. And not be swayed by every wind of doctrine and every social media and every Instagram and every TikTok reel and now every AI that comes your way. You got to settle. You got to settle in your heart. Because sometimes, when you settle in your heart, you will be tested. You might not get burned in a fire, but I can tell you, Suzanne and I can tell you, over the years, we've been tested. You say you believe this, you declare with your lips this, you speak this, but now you're gonna go through some fire. You know why? I said this a while ago when I came out with the exhortation. Because God has faith in you. Your testing is not to kill you. Whoo, Lord have mercy. Your testing is to build you up to be the man and woman of God that God has called you to be. That's what the testing's about. It's not because he's a mean God. It's because he's a great God who wants to build you up to be the man and woman of God that he called you to be. And it's going to take some fire to get you there. It's going to take some of that fire burning the dross out of your life. That's why everybody in this house that's a part of this church family needs to be in a small group, a connect group. Because connect groups is where character is built. This morning you're sitting here in church, you look good, you smell good, you drove up right in time for church, you walked in, sat down, you hardly spoke to anybody, you look at the back of the head of the person in front of you, and as soon as service is over, some of y'all are going to skedaddle out of here. I know, because when I walk off stage, I watch y'all out of the back window at some people, I mean, they came and they're gone. I don't know where you got to go that fast, because every restaurant I go to after church, ain't nobody there. Last Sunday, we went, and the lady said, just sit wherever you want. She said, in about 20 minutes, I said, I know the church people be here. She said, yeah. I said, well, I'm a church person too. We just get out a little earlier. But sometimes we're tested in small groups. See, in small groups, we don't sit stacked like we sit in church. We sit in circles, sit in living rooms, sit around coffee shops, and we eyeball each other. And sometimes we don't like each other. And sometimes we get offended with each other. And sometimes we get angry with each other. And when that happens, some people either let God finish the work. Because the minute we start going, God, you know that person in my connect group, I'm telling you, what is wrong with it? For Lord, I just, and the Lord just lets you just go on and on and on. And then when you're through, the Lord says, and what about you? What about you? Yeah, but Lord, I know I'm right. Yeah, but you can be right and dead wrong. You can be, everybody's married. No, just keep your hands down. We know, if we're married, we know that is the truth. Sometimes we can be right. And sometimes what the argument's about is not even what you were arguing about. Now, I know this to be true because my wife and I had one yesterday morning. We're just real people. We're just really married people, 46 years. Love her, can't live without her, can't do life without her. But yesterday, we just blew it. We had a blowout. You can go to breakfast wherever you want. I ain't going with you. Now, she said that. I didn't say that. I hung around a while, pulled my car out, got put the top down. I waited. She said, I told you I ain't going. And she didn't go. I had to have breakfast by myself. She went off by herself. And I was riding down the road to the restaurant place by myself. Man, that's a really good place for Holy Spirit to start talking. See, I promise you that what we got upset with each other about was not really the real issue. Because what it was about was a lamp that she bought, that I tried to turn the switch and it quit working, but I broke it. It is so true, and you don't have to make it up, because everybody that's married knows what I'm talking about. And my wife and I love each other. And we are for each other. We fight for each other. But sometimes you fight with each other because whatever's really going on, you're not ready to talk about. But thankfully, I came home. She came home. We had dinner together, watched a show together, talked. Now, we didn't talk about what happened this morning. I just quietly, after she left, took the shade off the lamp, wrapped it up, saw that even though she bought it brand new, there was already some tape that had been taped around the electrical part, which meant it was probably already broken once before. But I just wrapped it up and brought it to the office because my man Tad is home from vacation. And Tad can fix anything. He'll probably just look at it and it'll start working. But me, I could fiddle with it. I could electrocute myself. And she would not want that, even though her insurance would be good. But faith that withstands the battle. We have to have that same resolve that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. In 2025, you can have that kind of faith, that nevertheless faith that says, no matter what the enemy throws against me, I'm going to stand full of faith. Faith in this generation means standing for God when all those around you choose to bow to culture. to compromise and to convenience. If you're not careful, hear me. Who you hang around with, that's why small groups are so vital for the body of Christ. Because who you hang around with, what's in them, will get in you. If you have a tendency to be critical, you hang around a critical person and you'll become more critical. You'll become more judgmental. And that's a dangerous place for any of us to be. God loves us, wants to correct us, wants to help us, wants us to be people of faith. But when culture around you begins to compromise and believe a lie, you have to go back to the Word of God. And the Word of God has to be your foundation. Has to be. Because God's Word will never fail. And when God declares something and says something, you can take it to the bank. But you have to choose, as a man or a woman, a young person or an older person, you have to choose. I'm going to let faith be my foundation. And if I do that, and I follow all the other principles of God's word that he's brought into my life to protect me, to care for me, to cover me, to help me, then you can live with confidence through the rest of your life and not be afraid. I never wake up afraid of hell. As a believer, as someone who's confident in who he is in Christ Jesus, I wake up every day with the joy that no matter how good or bad this day is, it's temporal. One day I'm going to be in heaven with God for eternity. And I'm not going to have any more little surgeries on my head or my eye or my face. I'm not going to have any more stomach problems. I'm not going to have all the stuff that we deal with every day in our world. And with all that we deal with, hear me, I'm not ready to leave today. If there's a bus lining up to take people to heaven today, I'm not on it. But when I'm finished, then I'll be ready to get on the bus. But until then, I want to be busy about the Father's business. I want to be full of faith and I want to be obedient to his word. So I close with this, I trust, encouraging word that you were created for such a time as this. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stir yourself to believe that who God says you are, you can be. And be that man or woman of faith, husband or wife of faith, son or daughter of faith. Be that person. Become that person. Let God grow you into that person of faith that can move mountains and cause the enemy to scatter out of your obedience. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. Would you stand, please? Ministry team, would you quietly, quickly come down to the front? And as they do, I want to ask the rest of you for just a moment to close your eyes, bow your head for just a moment. Because I just want to speak to anyone today that's sitting here. Maybe you're watching online. Maybe you're in Jamaica at the Rock of Maypin. And today, you do not have a personal faith relationship with the living God. Jesus Christ is not Lord of your life. And this morning, you realize, because Holy Spirit has worked in your heart, the seed of God's word has been dropped into you. Today, you know that you need Jesus to be Lord of your life. I want to ask everybody to bow your head, please, because I want to give an opportunity for anyone in this room, those of you watching online, obviously we can't see, raise your hand, but you can respond today. You can pray this prayer in a moment with us. But today, the Lord is knocking at your heart's door. And he has a life for you that you can't even imagine. It's a life of faith. But it requires a decision. You can't just not choose God and yet be right with God. You have to choose. In the old covenant, it said it this way, choose this day whom you will serve. Jesus said, I come knocking at your heart's door. If you open your door, I'll come in. Everything Jesus did for you, he's already done. He's already been to the cross. He's already shed his blood. He's already died on the cross. He's already risen from the grave. He's at the right hand of the Father today, and he loves you dearly. But you have to choose him. And so this morning, believers are praying right now. These are in the front are praying for you right now. But if you do not have that relationship with Jesus, and today you're ready to say, Pastor, pray for me, pray with me. I'm ready. I want to receive Jesus as the Lord of my life today. If that's you, it's just between you, me, and Father God today. Just lift up your hand and hold it. Let me see it. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer right where you are today. It's a big decision. It's a difficult decision. But it's the biggest and best decision you ever make in your life. Jesus wants to be Lord of your life. So if that's you this morning, right where you're standing, just lift up your hand, hold it for a moment. Let me recognize it. And I'll lead you in a prayer. Ask Jesus to be Lord of our life. Sometimes folks feel like it's so awkward when you give an altar call and you wait for a moment. But remember when you made the decision. Your knees knocked, your heart was racing. You're making an eternal decision for life. It's not easy to make. But it's one you'll never regret. Yes, God bless you, sir. God bless you. Anyone else want to join this precious? You can put it down. Thank you, sir. Today is a day of salvation. All right, I want everybody in the room to join with me as we say this prayer out loud. Pray this prayer in faith. Maybe you're watching online today. Maybe you're at our church in Jamaica today. This prayer is not the end. It will be the beginning of your faith walk for life. So pray with me this prayer out loud. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you today acknowledging that I need a Savior. I'm a sinner separated from you. But today, I'm choosing you, Father. I'm choosing your son, Jesus, who died for me. Jesus, I invite you in to my heart. Be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sin. I ask you to cleanse me, heal me, and redeem me. Father, I pray this in faith today, believing that Jesus is going to be Lord of my life. I declare it so in the name of Jesus, the Christ, my Savior, my Lord. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise. Amen. Amen. You know, I touched on a lot of things this morning. And as this team is down here ready to pray with you and for you, whatever your situation is today, whatever you're going through today, the Lord is well able to meet your need. There are times when all of us need somebody that has faith to agree with us about what we're walking through. So this morning, as the worship team comes to lead us in worship for just a moment, I want to ask you, don't leave unless you absolutely have an emergency and have to run off. But otherwise, just let's honor the Lord for a moment, give opportunity for those that today need ministry, need prayer, need faith today. And if that's you, as the worship team comes, step out, come. We're here today to pray with you and for you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org.